The passing away of Bhishma Dev. We're on text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vishuddhayaya Dharanaya
Hatashubhas.
Tat ikshayai vashugata yudhashrama. Nivritta sarvendriya vritti vipramas. Tushtava janyam vrishajan janardhanam. Vishuddhayaya dharanaya hatashubhas. Tat ikshayai vashugata yudhashrama. Nivritta sarvendriya vritti vibhramas. Tushtava janyam vishajan janardhanam. Vishuddhaya, by purified. Dharanaya, meditation. Hatashubha, one who has minimized the inauspicious qualities of material existence. Tat, him. Ikshaya, by looking on. Eva, simply. Ashu, immediately. Gata, having gone away. Yudha, from the arrows. Shamaha, fatigue. Nivritta, being stopped. Sarva, all. Indriya, Senses. Vritti.
Vritti.
Activities.
Activities.
Vipramaha.
Vipramaha.
Being widely engaged.
Being widely engaged.
Tushtava.
Tushtava.
He prayed.
Janyam.
Janyam.
The material tabernacle.
Vishrajan.
While quitting.
Janardanam.
To the controller of the living beings.
Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. By pure meditation, looking at Lord Shri Krishna, he at once was freed from all material inauspiciousness and was relieved of all bodily pains caused by the arrow wounds. Thus all the external activities of his senses at once stopped, and he prayed transcendentally to the controller of all living beings while quitting his material body. The material body is a gift of the material energy, technically called illusion. Identification with the material body is due to forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with the Lord. For a pure devotee of the Lord, like Bhishma Dev, this illusion was at once removed as soon as the Lord arrived. Lord Krishna is like the sun, and the illusory external material energy is like darkness. In the presence of the sun, there is no possibility that darkness can stand. Therefore, just on the arrival of Lord Krishna, all material contamination was completely removed, and Bhishma Dev was thus able to be transcendentally situated by stopping the activities of the impure senses and the collaboration with matter. The soul is originally pure, and so also the senses. By material contamination, the senses assume the role of imperfection and impurity. By revival of contact with the Supreme Pure Lord Krishna, the senses again become free from material contaminations. Bhishma Dev attained all these transcendental conditions prior to his leaving the material body because of the Lord's presence. The Lord is a controller and benefactor of all living beings. That is the verdict of all Vedas. He is the supreme eternity and living entity amongst all the eternal living beings. And he alone provides all the necessities for all kinds of living beings. Thus he provided all facilities to fulfill the transcendental desires of his great devotee, Bhishma Dev, who prayed as follows. So they're discussing this meditation that Bhishma Dev was going through. The other evening we had a discussion about meditation, and a couple of us came up with the same cost of taking transcendental meditation. We could remember it was about $30-$35, and this meditation promised you that you get a mantra and that you only know that mantra and that you will become God. And one person said they actually did it, but didn't happen. It later became a servant of God. And then I remember also, this was in 69, there was this Buddhist meditation that was please the demigods. You would chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, something. And it would actually help your business in case you were, you know, failing in your business or you're lacking some way in your material life, that actually you would get some help in that regard. And then there were other ones too that popped up, being advertised as a meditation. And of course, there was the Hare Krishnas who advertised that, you know, chant, be happy, and take a lot of prasadam. And it's considered the topmost yoga system, which it definitely attracted me. That this was a meditation that one could do and be very active, and at the same time reach the supreme goal. But I really, at that time, didn't understand what that supreme goal really was. That it wasn't just to get relief from all the things that are going on, but actually it was to learn how to embrace Krishna, especially at the time of death. And here we see Bhishma Dev is at that point. He's being a pure devotee. His meditation is pure. And he's so fortunate that he has Krishna standing right in front of him. No distractions, and here's just describing how he was benedicted with no discomfort, And he was able to actually achieve this ultimate goal of all human life. This really should be taught in all the science classes in the world, either science or religion, and also philosophy. This whole discussion of how actually you leave this material world of illusion and you can enter into a spiritual world of reality. People don't really understand the depth of what can be achieved in this one lifetime. But as you see here, it seems like Bhishma Dev is very easily taking part in this process, but it's very, very difficult, and it's not achieved by everyone. Of course, he had the blessings and that benediction that he could pick the time he wanted to leave, and he chose the best time and had the best circumstances to leave his body. And this was his real wish. I know some of us older guys, we have this thing called the five wishes that you can write your wishes on before you leave your body, or that's when you're dying, all the things that you wish to happen just right. I think we should go home and write that we want to have Krishna standing in front of us like Bhishma Dev. I mean, even if it doesn't happen, we can put in our request, because that was his request, and here it's happening. And Krishna says that he will carry what you lack no matter what. So we can assure that somehow or other Krishna will help us at the time of death. Maybe not achieve this perfection, but at least advance in our spiritual pursuit. But Bhishma Dev, he did his homework. He worked on his relationship with Krishna, although it was a unique relationship, throwing arrows at each other. But he also developed faith and dependency. He performed austerity. He did everything he could to become very close to Krishna. And above all, he understood his real position, that he was a servant of Krishna eternally, and that Krishna, as is described here, and also his prayers previous to this verse, beautiful prayers describing Krishna's position as being the most beautiful person, and the controller, and the most person who was most beneficiary, everything. So he really understood where he is in his material and spiritual position. So he really understood that he wasn't this body as described here. He was able to just let go of the material energy. He just stopped all material activity, which is no easy thing. So he got the highest grade in Krishna consciousness. He actually experienced this embracing of Krishna, because he was so attached to Krishna and so detached from material energy. And so he received that highest pleasure that we're all looking forward to, hopefully, some lifetime. But I'm sure everyone in this room, well, at least the older people, can remember their first experience of receiving that spiritual pleasure, when the light kind of went on and you realized, wow, there is something more than just this material energy. It's the real thing when the soul actually wakes up. There are other spiritual groups too, other like the people that twirl around, those, what are they called, the Sufis. They go around and it definitely looks like they're somewhere else. And there's the revivals that speak in tongues, and some you know, God is giving them some little mercy to experience something that will make them yearn more to understand their soul and to make advancement. Many of the devotees, we find that taste, that spiritual pleasure in kirtan, or of course in prasadam, or even just coming to the temple, or devotees, or singing Srila Prabhupada, or maybe it was the book that you first read, or the first verse, or maybe it was the first philosophy you heard coming out of a devotee's mouth that just made all the sense in the world and made you want to drop what you were doing and take to Krishna consciousness. Here Bhishma Dev was on that level where he could drop all material activity and be with Krishna. So, but Srila Prabhupada has made it very nice, because there are so many distractions, we can't just drop everything. We have these material bodies and still some desires left in us. And it's a long road. We had that first initial experience, but it's a long way to reach that that ecstasy at the time of death, or when we actually achieve Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada has made it possible that, yes, stay high forever, maybe not all the time, every day, every minute, but he's given us programs all day long that we can keep our senses in a process where we can connect with Krishna. Because this is really describing how you unplug yourself from the material world and plug into spiritual activities, of which Prabhupada was expert in facilitating for us. Somehow or other, he said, just make the best use of this bad bargain. We all know that it's a bad bargain. But as soon as we engage in some kind of service, so many people find their little niche in Krishna consciousness, and they're just satisfied, just doing this for Krishna. And that will satisfy them this whole lifetime. Because ultimately, you can see that this is an eternal engagement, and the pleasure is just going to go on and get better and better. But somehow or other, we have to become captivated by Krishna. Bhishma Dev didn't have a problem. We just heard in the last couple of verses how he's describing how beautiful Krishna is. So he was so you know, mesmerized by the earrings and the flashing dhoti and the beautiful hair and curls and everything. So he had it really good. But we have to do our best to become captivated, but whatever it might be. Maybe it's your sankirtan, or your deity worship, or your service in the temple, or taking care of your children, whatever it is. We have to become captivated. I had a call from a student from FSU the other day, and she was in a class of architecture, design, and interesting. And she said that she had to arrange for some kind of a scene, a thing for her class of a sacred place, more or less. And she wanted to know what it took to make a place where we aren't distracted, and where what we do to help us concentrate on our devotional life. And so I said, oh, that's right up my alley, because I love to make things that that kind of help transfer you from material to spiritual. And so she sent me a bunch of questions on different things. And I said, you know, the pictures, Prabhupada said, windows of the spiritual world, and then the carvings and the colors and the incense and the whole awesomeness of the temple. I think it was Samapriya the other day when she was giving class, said that when she first came to the temple, she said, I left the material world, I came to the spiritual world. I remember that the first time we put up one of these pillars over here, and the first one was right where I'm pointing, and Jatari was standing under it, chanting his japa. He says, it's just so transcendental, I just have to chant right here. It was only because it made a difference from just a 4x4 thing. You know, there was something there that looked a little bit, you know, interesting. And I remember when I was designing the things in the back and up on the ceiling and everything here, and someone came by and said, oh, that's too gaudy, it's too much, it's too busy. You know, what do you want, you know, too much. I said, Krishna outdoes everything. And sure enough, we put it in, it was like, oh, no big deal, you know, because Krishna can handle a lot of decoration. So I thought it was interesting that people do realize that they need some sacred space to become a little bit attractive. And we find we do. I remember the first time I went into the Los Angeles temple. I'd been in the Boulder temple, which looked like a hippie ashram, but when I went to the LA temple, And everyone had, you know, the robes flowing, and they were all in lines, and the altar, and big, huge pictures. And I thought, wow, this is a spiritual world. And I was really swept away by the whole thing. So these things do make a world of difference, a different world. There was that nice article that Godrum and Vishnupriya wrote about his father leaving. This was over in Jacksonville, in their home. And the father was having a real hard time leaving his body. He was freaking out, said there were things in the room. He was very upset, very uncomfortable, the whole thing. And they just said, okay, we're going to put Prabhupada on 24 hours a day. They put pictures of Prabhupada and everything all around. And he immediately calmed down and left very gently. So these things do make a difference, and we should try to realize that even in our homes, especially during the pandemic, and now that we have to be freezing here in the temple, you might want to make a temple in your house, a little room, something like that, some little sacred place, chant your japa, and to be able to fix your mind easier. I tried to find it in one of the Bhagavatams, but I can't. But there's a picture of, maybe someone knows where it is, of a person on their deathbed, and there's a Time magazine on the floor, and then there's a dog, and then there's the Yamadutas are like hovering over him, and then the servants are like, okay, when's he ever going to leave? And then the other family, other relatives are like, okay, I wonder what I'm getting for inheritance, and you know, and the whole scene was not very conducive for leaving, and the destination of that person unknown. So we can see that Bhishma Dev has it really good here, and we have it really good too here too, because we can be prepared by filling ourselves up with Krishna consciousness, so that our thoughts are on Krishna, and hopefully our vision will be on Krishna, and we'll have the prayers and singing of the Vaishnavas to go along with it. But we have to do our homework, just like Bhishma Dev did. We have to chant our rounds every day. We have to hear this Bhagavatam every day without fail. These things we have to do. Otherwise, we don't pass the test. We might think we can skip out on a few things. I know in college you try to skip out on a few of the things you had to do, and you were sorry when you got that exam in front of you, you know. So it's best that we just follow the program of what Prabhupada has presented for us. There was that class by Naveen and Nirada, how he was saying Burjan said that we should have four things. One was to leave a legacy or something like that. I think if we can just follow these four rules and regulations and find some service to do in this lifetime, that's doing pretty good. What less thinking of leaving some great thing, and you know, that they'll always remember me by. But if we can just do these things, we'll be doing pretty good. Srila Prabhupada, he chose to die on a battlefield also. He was laying there with his dictaphone, not arrows and bows and arrows, but he was laying there with his dictaphone describing the Bhagavatam for our sake. And one of his quotation was, work now, and samadhi later. So he was working the whole time and realizing that, you know, at some point I'll think of Krishna, and surely enough he was in Vrindavan, surrounded by devotees, and was definitely not just thinking of Krishna, but helping us remember Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he worked very hard his whole life distributing Krishna consciousness, and only the very end of his life did he go off and be in samadhi. So we can try to follow in those footsteps too, and get some benediction, hopefully by them. There's a nice description I found here, just so nice, about the safe place. If we really want to be safe, in our consciousness at the, all the time. This is some nice description by Vrindavadas Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there. If there are not devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord. Bharatvasha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the results of jnana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvasha with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. So this is our choice, to remain connected by hearing about Krishna and by being with devotees, engaging in all the different acts of devotional service, because this is our real connection, this is our real secure plug into Krishna. So we should take shelter and have trust in this process, and we'll see ourselves become detached from the material energy and more attached to the holy name and Krishna. And Krishna's been doing his part lately to really make us more detached from the material energy by making it pretty miserable here. So we have to do our part and become more attached to him. And there is this spiritual pleasure is available at all times, as it's displayed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave us the process of chanting, and he actually displayed that all day long he was in ecstasy. And sometimes he was in such ecstasy that he was not being able to be restrained. There's those pastimes when he's in these rooms that are all locked, and somehow or other he just disappears. He's just invisible. And they found him in a cow pen somewhere. And this is a description of his ecstasy, which is way beyond our imagination. Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am simply trying to write about Lord Gaurachandra's transcendental activities and spiritual madness, which are very wonderful and uncommon. I dare to write them only because I have heard from the mouths of those who have personally seen the Lord's activities. His arms and legs had entered the trunk of his body exactly like those of a tortoise. His mouth was foaming. There were eruptions on his body and tears flowed from his eyes. As the Lord lay there unconscious, his body resembled a large pumpkin. Externally, he was completely inert, but within, he felt overwhelming transcendental bliss. So this is a state of being. Of course, Bhishma Dev here is surely experiencing the same thing, that he's being released from material energy and being hooked back up to Krishna. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he was experiencing that also, but he didn't reveal that to us. I think we would have been very uncomfortable. I saw him only one time in Los Angeles when he paid obeisance to the deities and sat down, and his Govinda prayers were going on, and he got choked up, and he had to kind of stop, and he said he had to like wave it away. He said, Govinda Madhipusha, and kept on speaking to us, because he realized that this samadhi would not be understood by us. But his real samadhi was to be engaged in helping us experience Krishna consciousness in a wonderful way. And Srila Prabhupada warned us, if we go to India, to be careful, because there are those who think that they're very advanced and might display some symptoms, but it's not always the truth. So we've seen that. I'm sure we've all seen that before. But the real absorption is in our service. Bhishma Dev also, he was very absorbed in his service. And but at the time of death, he got this wonderful mercy. Can anyone remember the pastime? I thought it was a nectar devotion. I couldn't find it. Where someone is, I don't know, someone is fanning, and they look at the peacock feather fan, and they see the peacock feather, and they think of Krishna, and then they don't want to stop their service, but so they just kind of have to like wipe it away. Does anyone remember who that is? I thought it was Daruka. That's what I was thinking. But I can't remember where I read it. If anyone can, I would like to read it again. So we should follow in the footsteps and continue our service wholeheartedly. And that way we can say no to this material energy when she becomes and dangles things in front of us. We'll have the ability to do that. It was interesting. I went to a doctor, and the lady, I said, "How are you?" And she said, and I said, "I'm fine." She said, I said, "How are you?" She said, "Oh, I had this horrible, my senses, I go outside and immediately have all this. I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "This material energy." I said, "I don't want to come back." And she goes, "I don't want to come back either." I said, really sincerely, "I don't want to have to come back." She goes, I said, "Then you're going to have to change something." And she goes, "What?" And she goes, "Change it." I said, "Yes, you're going to have to change something. You're going to have to get off a bodily platform, and you're going to have to wake up your soul and give more attention and hook up your soul." And I just left it at that, because I could see she got her thinking. But people are thinking that way now. They're looking for some scapegoat because they are so miserable. So we have to be able to provide them with that. And so we have all these wonderful instructions given by Srila Prabhupada that we can fill our lives with and to help us get that taste, that higher taste, and really connect with Krishna and experience some reciprocation with the Lord. Here, Bhishma Dev has been developing such a wonderful relationship with Krishna. I don't understand at all how they... I forget exactly what the mood is, as it's described somewhere, but it's a definite different kind of mood than we would normally think of between God and his devotee. But he's fully satisfied with that. This is custom made just for the Bhishma Dev. And so Krishna's custom made a relationship we can have with him if we simply connect. And that connection is very important. Here in this first little part of the purport, oh yeah, the very first sentence, it kind of struck me a little funny. It said, "The material body is a gift of the material energy, technically called illusion." I said, "This is a gift? I think I'd like to write return to sender on it and send it back," but then fortunately, the sender is us. We ask for it. So, you know, this is a gift that we ask for some, you know, we were really an illusion, that's for sure. But also it's described that human form of life is a gift. So somehow or other we've gotten it up here to human form of life. So now we have to somehow or other become captivated by Krishna and be released from this attachment that we have for this body. And hearing these pastimes that the Bhautam has given us is a real gift, because we can absorb ourselves. And thinking of Bhishma Dev during this season, how absorbed he was in seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, and not wanting anything else, just like in the Dharmadhar prayers, "I don't want anything. I don't want liberation. I don't want any of these other things. All I want is to have that picture of these babyhood pastimes." So in this season, we can pray to become captivated by baby Krishna, and hopefully that we'll think of that at the time of death. So anyone have any comments or questions? back there on the seat. Can't tell anyone by the mask. Who's behind
me? Sridevi.
Ah, Sridevi, okay.
Thank you, Akriti Prabhu. I also love that painting in the Bhagavatam that you were referring to with the dying person and the dog and the Time magazine and the relatives. It's so awesome. And I'm always struck by how when you try to explain to materialistic persons or someone who's very unhappy or miserable, you know, and you try to sort of explain like something relating to that picture, like deathbed and materialistic relatives and, you know, you're going to leave and what's going to happen then, like you're going to have to die. But still, and like, although they're suffering, like still they're not interested in like spiritual life. Like, I don't understand that, you know, but they're suffering like anything, but still they're like, whatever's going to happen in death is going to happen. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I read an interesting article recently, and it was about billionaires, about this one billionaire, his daughter made a comment. It was a realization. I forget where I read it. A very heavy comment said that when my father was in the hospital dying, he said, he was there, and all his billions of dollars were there. On the other side in the bank. It didn't do any bit of difference. But they don't realize that because money is the honey. All for the materialist, money is the honey. But then it doesn't, it's no nectar at the end. It can't do anything. So that, unfortunately, that lady realized it, but it took the death of that, her father, to realize that. So, yeah, it's, King Yudhisthira said it's the most wonderful thing how anyone can be so missing the point, you know, off track. But anyway, that's the work of the Lose Your Energy. She does a good job. Anything else? All right, let's go do our job for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.